Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Mark Menard, the visionary behind Elevating Beyond, presents a groundbreaking live event, Minutes with Millionaires. This elevational event is for business owners, leaders, and their teams, as each of our speakers bring extensive experience mixed with real and raw emotion. Learn how to lead through the chaos, manage your stress, create massive new revenue, and get your hustle on. And for the first time ever, a two-hour interactive Q&A session. We're talking massive truth bombs.
No one would invest in me. First of all, you've got to go and do whatever it takes. Do what it takes to get to where you
want
to go.
If I want something I have never had, I must do something I have never done before.
Do what you love and make it big.
Go to markmenard.net for more information and to order your video now.
This one is from Christina. It says, struggle is what creates drive and success. My kids will never struggle like I did as a kid, but I still want them to have drive and passion. Thoughts on this? Now, I'd say right from the beginning, man, I've had a great childhood, teenagers, and now.
You want me to answer that, Super Bowl?
Go ahead.
You want me to answer that?
Go ahead.
You don't want me to answer that.
Go.
Do you want me to answer? You don't want me to answer that.
I'm ready.
All right. So the question is, right, their kids don't struggle.
They won't struggle the way that they did.
Yeah.
And so what are they worried about? They won't be successful?
They won't have the
Here's my pattern. Thing for kids. You guys are going to hate me, but I'm dealing with it.
You're not going to like it.
You know what it is? Make them struggle.
I agree.
Do I make you struggle?
Yeah.
Do I make you struggle?
Sure.
Tell them honestly.
Yeah. I would say, growing up as a kid, I've had everything I ever wanted.
Yeah.
Teenager, great.
When you
my
went
job,
into business,
perfect.
What
when
happened?
I started working with Bill. I thought it was just going to be, this guy has 30 years of doing this. Grab the coattail and keep going.
No.
And no, he cut the coattail off and said, here, fall on your face, fall on your ass,
yep.
Get up and keep on
going. I did it with every one of my kids. They're all successful in business. One became a teacher, didn't want to do business. The other one, too, in business. But I make a struggle. I create a struggle for them. I want you, like my daughter, I'll give you the money. You better go to the banks and do this with him. You better be up in the morning ready to go.
There's a billion-dollar company. Greg and I were just talking about. It's a giant basket that went bankrupt. And what happened was this guy built this legacy. He was the one that said, what was the famous saying that he said?
It's the people business. It's Dave Longenberger.
Dave Longenberger.
Like the Rolex of baskets.
Yeah. Yes. So what happened was he didn't teach his... He gave his kids everything except what it took him to become successful. Which is, and yes, you want to give them more. I give my kids more. But also, if you don't teach them some of the struggle of what it took to get you successful, then they're not, when you're gone, guess what happened? The company went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually giving your kids more of a struggle by not giving them a struggle, and it's actually enabling them.
So you gotta let your kids grow.
I have a slightly different twist on this.
No, you can't talk.
Which is, and Wendy, I think this is the power of what you were just saying earlier. You know, I was really lucky. I was raised by a dad and grandfather who were inspiring, as like the most inspiring people you'll ever meet. The story of George in my book is the story of my grandfather.
That's an awesome
you
story.
Find that out at the very end. Yeah. The guy pulled himself from the ditches of World War II to become a millionaire. Just you weep because what I remember, one of the most memorable stories of my father. As I think about what my, you know, all the things he taught me, it wasn't what he did. It was one winter day. My father was the deputy director of the National Security Agency when Condoleezza Rice was the person. He reported right to her. It was top dog at the NSA. And my dad got in his little blue truck and drove. It took him 5 hours to get to Fort Meade, which is where the NSA is headquartered. He did something to go do some small thing there, turned around and drove 5 hours back home in the snow. And here's what that taught me. I had a snow day. I was tickled pink. My father got in his truck and drove 5 hours for a 15-minute transaction. And he didn't have to tell me much from that. What I learned was, as dad, this is a guy who said, you do whatever it takes to be successful. He triumphed. I wrote the story. He's like, I don't even remember that. But that even makes it more cool, because it was just for him, like another day. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I tell this to my wife, and I was like, how can I empower my wife so she can be an amazing, more amazinger mom? How can she help me? How can I communicate clearly so I can be a better dad and not yell and scream when I get home because stuff's on the floor, right? And so how can we show triumph so that my kids don't have to struggle the dumb way that I've struggled? Because I was an idiot with my marriage. And I was an idiot. I want them to learn other stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So that's it. That's slightly different twist to say. I think with you triumphing, man, everybody around you just like, it makes it amazing.
Next question.
All right. I just started a network marketing company, which I'm sold on the products as they healed my health issues. As a new entrepreneur, any words of wisdom? I'm guessing they're asking for internet marketing or just an entrepreneur in general.
Go ahead. Stop lying.
I don't want to say a curse word, but Dan, when you say the BS, stop the BS, say it how you would say.
Yeah, stop the bull.
There you go. Thank you. See,
he's Dan will swear for us, Greg.
Listen, because when people tell me, and me and Bill's talking about this, when people tell me as a lifelong diet, there's no cure for type 1 diabetes. Yeah. When someone calls me with their MLM marketing, that they have something that can cure.
Yeah.
My type 1 diabetes that can cure prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And they have the literature with the doctor from Sweden or Bucharest or wherever, and they show up. Stop the damn line. Stop telling your friends. I had a close friend who says, Greg, can you come look at my business and give me some advice on it? I get there and all she wanted to do was recruit me.
Yeah.
Stop doing that stuff. Be honest.
Yeah.
Stop showing the fake stuff. Do your due diligence and make sure what you're talking about, because in the end, when you get in trouble, that multi-level marketing company, network company, they're not going to come protect you. You're on the hot seat.
Yeah.
There's no magic pill, people. No.
That's right.
If I had the magic pill, I could gain my weight back in 30 days. I've had it off for 35 years. If I had the magic pill, I'd take the magic pill and go eat the pizza. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, I mean, there's no magic.
Yeah. Anybody else say anything about that?
Yeah. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Find out what it really does, how it helps people. Be real and honest with them. If you really believe in it, then sell it to them like it is your own business. And if you don't believe in it and you think it's bull crap, that's what the problem we talk about with a lot of the MLM is, they're not taught how you have to really make it like it's your own business.
There's a lot of good MLM products that we're marketing.
Yeah.
But when you start telling people that if you take this oregano and stick it up your butt and pull it out your nose.
Yeah. It gets crazy.
I love that actually works.
I don't hate the business model. I just think that when people get into MLMs, they think it's easy. It's a business.
Yes, they do, yeah.
It's a business. It's a business, right? Yeah. And so no business is going to give you all that money in 6 weeks. No business is going to tell you to go to your friends and family and bring them into the this thing.
Well, it does to the guy who has the Lamborghini with all the women and bikinis and high heels shooting basketballs.
Yeah.
Because they worked at McDonald's 6 months before, and now they live in a 20,000 square feet house by selling
lies.
This.
It's a great model for people that want to get into business because you don't have to pay to start up the business.
It's a great business model. It's excellent.
Business in a box. But it's a business. And one of the things they don't teach well in network marketing, I know a lot about it, I've researched a lot on it, is they don't teach them how to be entrepreneurs. They don't teach them how to be business people. Right. They don't even teach them how to do their taxes. Yeah. How do you do this? That's do you incorporate? They don't teach you nothing. They give you a product
they say is magical. And they overpromise.
And this is going to grow hair, because it didn't work. I tried it.
It didn't grow hair.
And that's my take.
The same lesson. I mean, the beautiful thing about multi-level marketing is, you know, someone else took the time to do some marketing brochure, and hand you this thing and say, you know, you something to sell. But just like you're selling dog grooming, just like you were selling, you know, anything else, you know, you can't say, you know, we're going to grow puppies. You say we're going to shampoo and groom your dog. And someone goes, oh, well, I want I happen to have a dog. Can you shampoo and groom my dog? And so we've become very passionate about this. We're, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, when you know, the reality is, we've become passionate about this. We're actually putting together some programs, some of the $1 billion strategies that we can deliver for people in multi-level marketing. Because I used to shoo these people away and say, get away from me. Because I'd get the call, hey, you have 300,000 people on Twitter or something, come sell my crap. And I would just be like, the same thing, bull. No, I'm not going to do that. Why would I hit a button on Twitter and help make you money? Like, that's, you know, that's the easy button, and life's not easy. Right. Yeah. But what I've realized is, and I've even got it, you know, tattooed on my arm, believe here, that these are actually, I've changed my tone of voice a little bit. These are believers.
Yeah.
So these are people who said, out of the millions and billions of people, and you know, some people that you know are just complete assholes. These are people who aren't. These are people who said, I want more for myself. I'm admitting it, and I'm taking the first step.
I actually coach a couple of Herbalife people, and that's a big multi-level marketing. And they're self-made millionaires.
Yeah.
But they worked for 6 years, and they built this, and they did this.
They think and behave differently.
Millions of dollars doing that, you know? Sure you can,
Let me sum it up.
You just took the mic out of my hand.
Yeah, like Kanye West style. Let me sum it up. Everything we've said tonight about what you need to do to be successful, do that. That's what it takes.
That's a good way to say it.
Right.
Bill, one came in on Facebook Live that says, have you ever known anybody able to get off thyroid medication for hyperthyroidism?
For hyper or hypo?
Hyper.
Now I have to reach out and give you the mic.
Hyperthyroid's a little bit different than hypo. Hypo is a slow metabolism. Hyper is when it's sped up. Now, what happens is when you have hyper, it can cause cardiac problems. So, no, you actually have to go on blood pressure medications on it. So it's a little bit different with hyper because it's making everything work fast. It's working everything fast. It's Graves' disease. So what has to happen is they have to fix that. And can they get off medication? Usually not. Let me be honest with you, because what will happen is they'll go from speeding to slow. Now, we are not giving medical advice on this show, but I will tell you, never say never, because you don't know. But you have to have a good doctor that's really working proactively with you, because it's going to go from hyper to hypo when they fix it. And there's different ways of fixing it. I could do a whole show on thyroid, so that's not. But that, to answer your question, usually not. But guess what? I'm on thyroid. Nobody dies from thyroid. I'm going to tell you guys right now, it's one of the greatest things. If your thyroid is not operating at optimal level, then your metabolism can't operate at optimal level, and that's energy. So nobody dies from thyroid. I think thyroid, if your thyroid is slow or sluggish, in our medical clinics, we actually treat it if it's a little bit under, and because that way we know that you increase your health. Does that make sense? Did I answer the question? I hope I answered the question.
And this will be one of the last ones that we got from the list that we got, and it's a pretty good one to end on. It was directed towards Mark, but I kind of want all of you guys to chime in. It's basically, if you were to die today, what's one piece of advice you would give to your children? What's one thing to leave with them?
Live life now.
You're not Mark.
I'm sorry. That was a good answer, though. Follow your heart, screw the experts, and do what God puts in your heart. Don't do what I tell you to do. Don't do what everyone else. Morally, ethically, just be the best you and follow your heart. That's it.
He said we're trying to go.
Yeah, I think that's why I have the word believe tattooed on my arm. Is that someone asked me that a long time ago. It was slightly different. What's one piece of advice you give to a 20-something-year-old? Mm-hmm. I said, believe. Because there are people who will always tell you that's never going to work. The greatest inventions of the world all had somebody tell them that'll never work.
Everything in my whole life they keep telling me it can't be done.
So, we now pay for water.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's right. So that's why I say believe, because, belief does some crazy stuff. It will, people halfway across the world, We'll wake up in the morning and say, my job for today is to blow myself up in the name of what I believe. And yet we're answering questions from people who, once we finish, will make 20 excuses why what we just said doesn't apply to them.
Let me say about beliefs. Beliefs are what separate a Mother Teresa from a Charles Manson.
So just believe in yourself.
Believe.
Believe.
So what is this, a piece of advice to your child? Maybe. Son, you're driving tomorrow. I'm just saying, right? So, no, mine is, you know, it really is, and my kids are like that. Follow your passion. And you know what we got to do? Yeah. You and me? Get the hell out of their way. Yeah. I let him fall on his face. I let my daughter's an amazing businesswoman. She'll be a millionaire before she's 30. I actually wrote a business plan. I gave it, it's one of my blogs. I gave it for my 15-year-old son. So we're going down the street. I have 5 hours with him in the car, so he's trapped. And he says, you know, Dad, he's really good at football. He goes, but I'm not stupid. I don't think I'm going to go to the NFL. I might. I'm going to try. But I have to start thinking what I want to do with my life. He's 15. He's going to be a sophomore. And I said, what do you love to do? He goes, I love to work out, and I love to be around sports. I go, then become an athletic trainer. And the first words that came out of his mouth was, they don't make any money. And I said, okay, what do you want to do then? He goes, I'll become a doctor. I go, do you love medicine? No. See, that's how we program. We're programmed that, you know how many doctors I work with? I've been working with doctors for 30 years. Most of my coaching clients are doctors that want to rebrand themselves because they hate being doctors. They became doctors to make money. So I laid a business plan out for him to go to school to become an athletic trainer. And by the time you're 30, you'll be a millionaire if you follow this plan. And that the greatest legacy that I believe I can leave my children is do what you love and make it big. I turned trading into medicine into this. Is that right? Is that what I tell you? Right?
Pretty much. Just follow it.
Follow what you it
do.
And work.
And if I say no, don't. Just
and
keep
follow
going.
What's Greg's advice? Huh? What does he tell you? What does Greg tell you?
Keep hustling, man.
There you go.
Just keep grinding.
Grind and hustle. Yeah.
Don't stop.
Grind and hustle, boy.
It would be persist.
Grind and
persist.
Hustle.
Persist in marriage, persist in faith, persist in health, persist in what
and
you want.
And learn. Keep learning. Because, you know, one of the things, David came back, and I want to say thank you, Greg. Because David came to me, and he said, man, I had the greatest conversation with the big dreamer. And you ever notice, he just sucks. He's just getting information from you. He wants to understand how Mark works. He hasn't gotten Dan yet. He gets Dan tomorrow. But he's just like, he wants to learn. He goes, man,
that's right.
You know, Big Dreamer's got some good ideas. I like what he's doing here. Yeah. And I want to try. One thing, David, I pushed David out of cage because David, first time he started working with me, I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, this, and this, and we're going to do it in 30 days. Man, I thought he's going to have a heart attack on the spot. He goes, we can't do that. 100 reasons we couldn't do it. We did it in 30 days.
Yeah.
We built a business in 30 days that should have not been possible.
Yeah, that was it.
100. Yeah.
100 things going on in the mind.
Yeah. Why couldn't do it?
Things to do. Here, you know.
And now.
That also shows a belief. So
yeah.
People will say to me, well, how? Much, you're not, even if you're a billion-dollar company and you're paying me $1 million, right? My job's not to tell you the how.
That's right.
You're going to come up with the how. Well, that's the power of belief. When you believe, the how happens.
The how is none of your business.
Yeah, but because you don't believe, you don't get to a spot where you can even how your way to success, right? You're not even. And so I think your job is to believe and to work your ass off, right?
And there's actual laws to this. If you look at the steps of intention, and intention's a goal, you have to set your intentions with a purpose. There has to be a reason you're willing to step outside that cage and step away from your tribe and do what you got to do. But then, the step number two, you've got to acclimate to the energy of that already being done. You don't have to figure out how to do it. Because step three is, you got to get out of the way. You don't have to do God's work. You have to work. And every plan I've ever put together, I always get to the end, but it's never like I thought it was going to be.
That's the secret power of meditation. For everyone listening, wherever the cameras are now. We go into a business plan, or even this evening, some people are looking at this and going, they're asking themselves this question, does this apply to me? So that's the wrong question. It's not does what we said apply. It's how does it apply?
Yes. Exactly.
How does it apply? And the meditation forces you in these moments. Like for me, I'm sitting in church. I'm getting great business ideas. I feel ashamed because this guy's up here passionately giving me stuff. And I'm like, because my butt's in a seat and I can't move and hopefully can't check my email because that's rude. I'm now having ideas and I'm poking into my phone because I've given my, exactly. I've given, that's in the shower. The running, it's your how.
I wrote it down in a little note.
So many people don't do anything in life because they always say, how can I do it?
Exactly.
I don't have a college. No, Nietzsche said,
Nietzsche said, when you discover your why in life, you can endure any how.
Yeah.
Stop worrying how are you going to be. How is I going to be own a restaurant? No one's ever done that.
200 later.
Yeah, how? Right.
200
how,
later.
How can I be a speaker when I didn't speak till I was 12 years old? Didn't ask my wife 30 years ago to marry me. How was I going to do it? I just did it.
That's right. Dude.
Nike says it best. The guy back there has the shirt says, I do it. Just do it. Just get out there and do it. Les Brown always told me, he says, young man, anything worth doing is worth doing badly at first.
That's right.
Until you get it right.
Yeah.
We all done it wrong at first, and we're still doing it wrong.
That's
but we keep trying. We keep pushing. We keep grinding. We keep hustling.
Now I get paid a lot more money to do it wrong.
Yes. Yes.
But you've learned on the way. You got to go through terrible on the way to becoming great.
And this is like the bonus question. It says, what's each of you guys' favorite place to vacation? And I guess that's a good way to end this, huh?
Mine?
Amsterdam. Amsterdam. I we go every year. I don't know what it is. Amsterdam.
You're talking live.
That's not why. Amsterdam. Yeah. Well, I'm talking live? You think I'm going to say, no. Amsterdam. You ever been to Amsterdam?
It's beautiful.
It's wonderful. Yeah. I go there. I like to write. Sometimes we'll say 3 or 4 weeks. I like to write. I like to work there. That's my place.
Yeah. I love
you guys. You guys all think it's the bad stuff. No. You know what? That's
no.
It.
Right.
I see it. The architecture, the mountains.
My wife's watching this thing.
I love Las Vegas, and I don't drink and I don't gamble.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love being around people. And Las Vegas, Times Square, I love being around people. And
you
listen,
do, don't you?
I do. I love people. I could sit here with you guys all night. They were getting mad. I know they're getting mad at me, like my wife and nieces, Wendy and Dodd, because I spoke to everyone. I got pictures with a couple wearing all these nice. I love talking to people. Yes. and I think it's because I was quiet all of my life. And now I'm like, so I love Las Vegas. I just sit there and just watch people. That's what I love.
I would say I'm a sucker for any place warm. So, Cable Beach and Paradise Island.
Nice,
amazing. It's where I got married.
Nice.
Also,
but you
been
can
the
make,
last
you
years.
Can make vacation where you're at.
Yeah.
I once heard an old couple. Vacation.
But where's your favorite? Where's your favorite place? Though was the question.
Vegas, where I'm living.
Yeah. No. But so many people think. So many people think. That they have to go to the. I met an 80-year-old couple. They always wanted to go to Eiffel Tower. They live in Columbus, Ohio. They wanted to go to Paris, but they couldn't. They couldn't afford it. They had 14 kids, great people. Sent them all to college. They couldn't. So I said, "What are you going to do about it?" They said, "You know what? Kings Island's amusement park. They have 1/3 of the Eiffel Tower. They went 86 years old. They got wine, cheese, and crackers, and they sat underneath there. So don't think you have to go to Paris to do this.
That's awesome.
That's a great story.
So,
where's yours, Mark?
Vacation.
My favorite is Sierra Leone, West Africa, where my wife was from. And guess what? This is why you don't watch the news and all that crap or let it influence you or dwell on it. Everyone said, don't go there. You're going to get Ebola. You're going to die. It was like the most beautiful place, the most beautiful beaches, private beaches, mango trees. It was incredible.
And he had servants, I saw it.
You had servants?
They actually do. I was hoping my kids were gonna see like the poverty there and come back. And like a lot of people there have like drivers and cooks, and they're like, their lesson from Africa
travel.
Was like, why don't we have cooks at
travel
home?
Travel is the new job.
Everybody should try to travel. Even when you're young, you should try to travel. I remember, you know, being in the Philippines and looking, you know, it's really seeing things like that. Traveling to Peru, traveling to Panama, traveling, you know, around the world. We travel everywhere. But travel, just you see things.
The Dalai Lama.
And you appreciate so much more when you come
home. The Dalai Lama said once a year you should go one road you've never been on.
Yeah, so important.
Can I run there?
So
you
are
can
we
run
done?
There. You can run there.
Good.
Woo, finally.
We out?
We out?
Yes, Mark, take it away.
Mark, so
I just want to say thank you, honestly, to
thank
everyone
to
that
crew.
Came here, to the live stream, to the
awesome,
crew.
Man,
the crew. That this
yeah,
was
I
a long,
it,
long.
You
thank you
great.
To all the speakers, and we'll be doing this a year down the line.
Yeah.
Stay
next
tuned,
year,
folks.
Same place,
everyone,
same
give
time.
Yourself
thank
a round
you.
Of applause.
Right, thank you.
And we're out.